Scientists who work on genetically modified trees have become a target for eco-terrorist groups. In recent years, more than 50 research projects have been attacked, and at least 6 groves of experimental trees have been destroyed. Radical activists say they are responsible for the destruction. The FBI is investigating. No one has been hurt yet, but the researchers whose work has been destroyed say that's no consolation. NPR's John Nielsen reports from Corvallis, Oregon.
On the outskirts of Oregon State University, a barbed wire fence surrounds a ruined grove of trees.
So this field plot we're looking at here, all of the trees were cut down to ground level by the terrorists.
Steve Strauss, a professor at OSU, leads us on a tour of the crime scene. He says there used to be hundreds of genetically modified poplar trees on the weedy lot in front of us. Now there are hundreds of stubs.
Stubs, yes. Just little stubs that were left, surgically cut right at the base. They'd obviously gone through with a machete or some other knife and very efficiently cut them all down to ground level. Yep, the entire plot, every single one, about 500 trees.
Strauss is a leading expert on genetically modified trees. He dreams of the day when GM tree plantations will be soaking pollution out of the soil or producing natural pesticides or growing so fast that loggers have no need to work in old-growth forests.
Just walk a little bit. I'll see if I can find one tree.
Radical environmental activists think dreams like those are dangerous, which is why they recently wrecked 3 of Strauss's research plots. An anonymous email said the plots were, quote, visited by night, independently assessed, and found to be dangerous experiments of unknown consequences.
It makes you very, very vulnerable, and we also know that they will be back. They know where these are. There's nothing you can say to them. They have an ideology which is absolute, and it doesn't feel very good.
Attacks on controversial environmental property seem to be more common these days. Ask any scientist who works with GM trees. In recent months, GM test plots around the country have been destroyed by activists, and at least one research lab was burned down by arsonists. Gary Perlstein, a criminologist at Portland State University, says terrorism is the right word to use.
It meets the criteria of what goes into a terrorist attack, even though nobody's died yet. Terrorism does not have to have a death, there just has to be the threat of a death. And there is. It's politically motivated, it's terrorism.
Perlstein suspects that the recent surge of violent environmentalism is an offshoot of the animal rights movement, which has long been known for its attacks on animal research labs. He says the internet has also made life easier for the radicals. To prove that point, he looks around on his desk for a paper he just pulled off the web.
Ah, yes, there we go. Setting fires with electrical timers, an Earth Liberation Front guide, dated May 2001. And this actually says that it's free to copy and distribute the manual. And it contains all sorts of information of how to set up his awesome devices. This is sort of a poor man's modern version of the Anarchist Cookbook of the 60s.
Perlstein says the Earth Liberation Front appears to be leading this movement, which is why we met with a representative of the group in a quiet corner of Powell's, a giant Portland bookstore.
My name is Leslie James Pickering. I'm a spokesperson for the North American Earth Liberation Front press office. I'm not a member of the ELF. I don't know who is involved in the ELF, but I do speak ideologically in support of direct action and support what the ELF has done.
He's a skinny young man with tiny glasses and baggy pants. Whenever someone connected with the ELF commits a crime, he says he gets an anonymous email.
We are recipients at the ELF press office, but there are other recipients as well. Federal authorities sometimes get them. Sometimes the targets get them and news agencies get them as well.
Pickering doesn't know how many people belong to the ELF. He can't even prove that they exist, but he believes.
Extreme illegal tactics has been a part of every successful social movement. State-sanctioned legal means of protest on their own are not going to succeed and have never succeeded by themselves. Our natural habitats are disappearing, and this is while there's a large popular environmental movement going on. And the ELF see that as not being successful. They want to actually stop the destruction of the natural environment, and they're taking direct action in order to do that.
Pickering says the ELF has done $40 million worth of property damage over the last 5 years, but he wouldn't call them terrorists.
They are a sabotage organization, clearly. They believe in economic sabotage because they think that the earth is being killed because people are making money off of its killing. So they want to take that profit motive out. They aim not to harm anybody, and in their history, they have not harmed anybody.
The ELF has taken credit for 3 arson attacks in recent months. 2 did not involve genetic engineering, but 1 destroyed a research lab run by Toby Bradshaw, a scientist at the University of Washington. People who work out in the forest think they know where this is headed.
I'm really afraid somebody is going to get hurt and somebody is going to die.
Mari Kramer, a forester, says she's scared to go to work now.
It scares you when you go out in the woods. You don't know, you know, who the people are that are driving up and down the roads. Every time that you stick your hand up in a gate bell, you're worried about getting your hand blown off if you don't look in there first. I mean, there's things like that that we face every day when you go out in the woods.
She's speaking to a crowd of foresters at an all-you-can-eat restaurant in Corvallis.
Hello.
They've gathered to talk about ecoterrorism. The featured speaker is Steven Strauss, the genetic scientist from Oregon State. He starts out by showing slides of a burnt-out pile of rubble near the University of Washington. That's Toby Bradshaw's lab.
Looks like this place has been hit by some World War II-style bombs, so the building was a complete loss.
Strauss says radical activists should not be able to bomb their way into the GM debate. He says the methods they are using are a threat to the scientific process, not to mention the democratic process. But he does admit that they made him doubt himself, at least for a while.
You begin to question yourself. You know, maybe you're doing something really bad, and you just sort of have lost sight of that. Then you look around, and you connect back up with your colleagues, and you realize that some of the most brilliant, intelligent, caring, environmentally minded people have similar visions for how this kind of science can really help the world.
Strauss's employers at Oregon State have praised him for speaking out. They've also beefed up security at the School of Forestry. Strauss's neighbors in that building say they can handle the changes, even though some of them have doubts about the value of genetic engineering. Biologist William Dennison is one of the critics. He thinks genetically engineered trees could do a lot of environmental good if they were used properly, but he doesn't think they will be.
There are going to be organizations that are going to abuse technology to make a buck. And this is the one version of the precautionary principle. If you really don't know what you're doing and the consequences of doing it potentially could be disastrous, don't do it.
In his office inside the forest building, Strauss says he knows what he's doing. He also says there's no chance that he will trigger a disaster. But he welcomes the chance to talk about these issues. In fact, he seems to yearn for it.
I've never had a concerned student or citizen call me on the phone and come to my office and say, you know, Dr. Strauss, I think what you're doing is wrong, and here's why. Not a single student. I know that there are, you know, more than a few students who don't like the idea of what I do. Why hasn't one of them shown up to just say, you know, what's the sense in this? And talk to me.
Later this month, Steve Strauss will host a conference on the social and environmental side effects of genetically engineered trees. Radical activists are planning to gather and protest. Strauss fears they will do more than that. John Nielsen, NPR News, Corvallis, Oregon.